Heather McDonald has got the juiciest scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. Thanksgiving week. I just got back from Atlanta and Nashville. Thank you to everybody who came except for the one girl that I had to kick out on the second show on Nashville. And to the girls that brought her that were horrified and to the woman herself, I forgive you. But people, do not go to comedy shows and scream out things and think it's a Q&A. Okay, if you come to my show, if you come to anybody else's, you know, and try not to get so drunk that you don't know that it's not a Q&A, because there's nothing I hate more than having to stop the show and say, you got to go. I've given you three warnings. So, but what was fun about the show is that was some juicy scoop. That was some real juicy scoop. I think some of the girls that were there really enjoyed the drama of going into the bathroom and seeing the girl crying, her friend being upset. It all just added to what my life is. But as a performer, it kind of throws me off. So that's not my favorite kind of show. But I'm glad you all had fun. Thank you for coming. I had a blast. And Chris is here, and we cover the girls' trip, the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls' Trip, and a lot of other juicy topics. But I wanted to get into a couple of the hottest things that are happening. Well, Britney Spears slammed Christina Aguilera for dodging conservatorship question, but knowing the truth. So there was a video of Christina Aguilera, who's now a redhead, being questioned like on a red carpet or something. And someone said, how do you feel about Britney's conservatorship ending? And she's like, and then her handler was kind of like, we're not going to get into that now. So then she reposted that, Britney did, and was like, this is bullshit. And she said, she took to her Instagram story to share the clip of Aguilera at the Latin Grammys being asked about Spears' legal situation. In it, she says no. So she was like really, really kind of calling her out. And I guess Lady Gaga did speak on it too in a positive way. And then they said there's no plan really for Britney to do Oprah's show. Well, even if it's not on the books, you think Oprah's going to turn it down? You think Oprah's going to be like, well, why is she speaking ahead of turn? I haven't, you know, organized the lawn chairs to have her come over yet. If not, please do my podcast, Juicy Scoop. I'd love to have you. And I've got a lot of questions, obviously. But I think that she's finally going to really tell us what it was like, which will be very juicy, because her boyfriend really doesn't speak on it either, which I think is classy of him. So he's not going to share anything because it's not his to share. She should get the most out of this tell-all, either make it a book or get paid or do it through a legit person like Oprah. I think she should immediately like get a book out as quickly as possible while it's hot, or, oh my God, she really should do like a pay-per-view streaming interview that you have to pay for to see, that's only up for 24 hours that you can't share the link of. You're welcome. Not that you need any more money, but you lost a lot paying those 13 losers for the last 13 years, or how many people were on your payroll that you didn't really want there. So, you know, if you want to reap some money and make a couple hundred mil, I think you could do it if you did a tell-all with me and we stream it. There's an idea. Speaking of money, okay, so I saw this. Where else? TikTok. I'm addicted, you guys. And you know what? They're not even paying me to do those bad acting commercials that the Housewives are doing. Anyway, it was on the 5 near San Diego, and I guess a truck, like a, one of those Brinks trucks or something, the money flew out, and people all pulled over, and they were filming it, and when I saw it a couple days ago, it had over a million views. And even people in the comments were like, those people are going to be caught. Their cars, you see the license plate, pulling over, grabbing the money, and because it's not free money. And Anyway, they Baller Alert on Instagram is now reporting that they have arrested some people, and some people that collected the money also went to the highway patrol and returned it, which is what you're supposed to do. So maybe after they collected it and they realized that their license plate, as they were jumping up around, up and down, is all over this girl's TikTok, they were like, shit. You know, they read some comments and they're like, I guess this isn't free money. Because a lot of people are confused about what's free and what's not. There was an incident at a Louis Vuitton in Illinois, and there was one in San Francisco, and then there was the Nordstrom's in Walnut Creek in San Francisco that happened. If you don't know, what happened is groups of people with ski masks or, just COVID masks. I don't know why I have to get a ski mask, but a mask, come into these stores during the hours that they're opened, I assume, with crowbars and just start taking all the stuff. This has happened numerous times. And I feel like it's definitely not getting advertised. It's happened a handful of times in San Francisco. Just happened, I think, outside of Chicago. And there's video of it around, people's personal video. Cops come. They've only arrested 3 people out of the 80 that went to the Nordstrom's, where they just grab everything and they just take it. And I guess because they have crowbars and not guns, they, even if they get arrested, I don't know. I've never saw The Purge, but I guess we're living in it. So I guess these people just thought you could take this money and on your way down to, and then turn around and go to San Francisco and take some other stuff. So there you go. Okay, speaking of taking things, let's talk about Jen Shah of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. As you know, whether you watch the show or not, Jen Shah is shamazing, and she owns no property but is dressed to the nines and has lots of cash and lots of money to spend and designer everything, Louis Vuitton, Gucci, all of this stuff. And the Gucci movie's coming out. A lot of people say that it looks kind of campy, and but go wear your Gucci stuff. Hopefully you didn't steal it, and go see the Gucci movie because there were Gucci commercials within this episode of Housewives. So Jen Shah was arrested. As you know, she had claimed that her husband was sick and that's why she left. And then the cops and everybody came, and then she was arrested. And in last night's episode, we see that she meets with her attorney. And shocking that, I'm like, okay, you're allowing them to meet with the attorney. You gave them your Ring footage. I mean, her main thing is, oh, wow, the producers are going to love me. I am definitely getting a third season. I mean, I got arrested. I gave them the Ring footage. I let them come to my attorney's office. But in the end, they're not going to be coming to the jail and filming you every Sunday for 2 hours, okay? Meanwhile, her first assistant that we saw a ton of him throughout these episodes, he's just like a regular looking dad type of guy. I believe he is married with kids. He has now pled. Originally, I think he said he was not guilty. He has now pled to several of the charges: fraud, the money laundering, owning, having some company in Wyoming that he didn't report. He will be sentenced in March. So people are freaking out because he is her right-hand man, literally, if now he's pleading and saying, yes, I did these wrong things, that does not make Jen's case look good. And Jen, on last night's episode, is like, I'm totally innocent of this stuff. I mean, if anything I'm guilty of, it's being too nice and shamazing to everybody who works for me. And I'm just such a giving person. I don't know how this happened. I don't know what is happening. Meanwhile, Meredith got out of her, 4-hour bubble bathtub, and she is telling the truth. She's saying, I'm saying right now, I don't want to be Jen Shah's friend. So if you're going to invite Jen Shah to something, keep me out of it. And then Lisa Barlow says, well, I was getting these weird text messages, and it was a little suspicious because... And then they show the text message. And the text message comes from a number you don't know, like it's the text alone. And it says, you get ready for some racist stuff to come out. I have receipts because, and then they spell it B-C-U-Z. So basically, a bunch of them got these anonymous texts sent to their phone saying, accusing them of racist behavior, and that I have receipts and get ready. And they didn't know who it was from, but Lisa Barlow says in her other texts, when she's on good terms with Jen Shah, Jen Shah does because as B-C-U-Z. I want to say I do B/C. That's how I write because. So that is kind of suspicious. But so anyway, Meredith does not like her. She has, you know, been horrible to Brooks, causing death threats to Brooks, you know, saying that he's, you know, gay and a homosexual. And, you know, he has never shown any signs of that ever since he's been designing clothes since he was 4. And I just won't have it. So I want nothing to do with Jen Shah. And Heather over here is kind of like, well, this is our friend. And she's like, yeah, but if our friend is stealing from elderly people and disabled people and vulnerable people of society, that's not a friend I want to have. So good points. Meanwhile, Mary, who, you know, inherited her grandmother's cult church by sleeping with her grandmother's husband, her step-grandfather, she is on the chopping block too, or on the hot seat, because this guy went to Lisa Barlow and said, I had a horrible experience in the church. I've been religiously traumatized because I sold my house and gave the $300,000 for my house to Mary's church. He, since it was, when this was filming, this man was alive. He has since died. I think it was like natural causes. I don't think there's like a foul play involved. He had a brain tumor. So it wasn't like she went out and, you know, it's not like there's foul play. Very, very sad. But Meredith, I think, just doesn't want to be like, well, God, I don't want to lose two of the weirdest people in our cast. So I'm going to stick by Mary. So she's defending Mary, the church leader, but wants nothing to do with Jen Shah. And they go, so here's Mary just saying, like, I don't want anything to do with Jen Shah. Okay. Can we get that very clear? And oh, wait, where's the ice skating? And then they went ice skating. And I have to say, Bravo Historian posted this. I love when history repeats itself. Lisa Barlow wore a very similar ice skating outfit to when Jill Zarin went ice skating. And if you ever watch that episode, you will see me in it. Yes, I was in New York at the time. I was just getting friendly with Jill Zarin, and she invited me to her holiday party where she was going to ice skate. And we had drinks and appetizers, and then we went down to this rink in New York, and we all went ice skating. And I think I put on skates. I can't remember, but she was a pretty good ice skater. She did fall on her ass once. But this girl skated, and then Mary put on this blue ice skating outfit. And no, Mary wore black, and she wasn't good in her ice skating. And then Meredith wore blue, and they all sucked. And then they all had to get in those, like, sexy, like, beer, whatever, German outfits or Swedish outfits, you know, and have some weird meal where they had to, like, cook their own food on a hot grill. Anyway, do you imagine going to a girls' trip and they're like, okay, so bring your Hagen Floggen outfit or whatever, and also bring your ice skating outfit, and be like, Jesus, can we just, like, have drinks? I mean, I guess there's probably groups of friends that are not on reality shows but are big influencers that are now doing, like, hey, girls, everybody wear, you know, pink to this, or everybody dress up like, you know, you're part of a harem, and then everybody do this. But I'm just saying, I don't want to be invited to that party. Okay. And then Sister Wives is back, you guys. Every time I think I can't watch another boring season about Coyote Pass, I get sucked back in. Heather, what the hell are you talking about? Well, Cody has 4 wives. They left their perfect cul-de-sac straight out of Big Love, where they each had their own home, because he found this ugly piece of land. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. I don't think it's anything great. It's called Coyote Pass. I've never seen one coyote on it, and I've watched probably 50 hours of footage of this show. And they keep going there, and they keep talking about Coyote Pass and how they're going to build it, who gets what lot. Mary wants to be by the trees. Christine doesn't want to be by the trees. Then they're going to make this gross pond. And now Cody says, I hate all of you wives so much because he's like, it's like anarchy. He's calling them anarchy because they're like, I guess, coming up on the monarchy and he's the monarchy. I don't know what, but the girls are like, you know, mid 40s to 50s and they just don't, they're not into him. They don't care. Their kids are old. They are like, okay, I don't even care if I ever see Cody again. I don't like two of them. I don't think have had sex with him in a really long time. The other one just gardens with him. And then one does bone him and that's Robin. And anyway, still 2 years of being in Coyote Pass, we have yet to put one shovel into the ground and start building these four houses on these, or these five houses on these five different lots. And I'm so frustrated with, I'm as frustrated. I feel like I'm one of Cody's wives. I'm like, Cody, what the hell, dude? Like, are we building or are we not? Because Christine now wants to go back to Utah and, you know, Janelle just doesn't care. And Mary, you haven't like held her hand or kissed her in 10 years. Why is she in this? But Mary's just like, let me sell my LuLaRoe and go on my cruise once a year and still be part of this show. I don't really care about you either, Cody. And now Cody's realizing, you know, what are we going to do about Cody Pass? Coyote Pass. Very annoying. All right, you guys. I was lucky enough to lure Chris to stay and do another ton of hot topics for you. And it's hilarious. And I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I do have a show on Thanksgiving. Very inspiring, fun show. And enjoy your holiday. And of course, you're going to have more Heather. If you're a part of Patreon, you go to heathermcdonald.net. There'll be a Patreon on Friday and maybe another one over the weekend. And have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And here we've got more with your favorite Chris Frangiola. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. It's Tuesday, part two.
Okay.
With Chris Frangiola. So we're wearing the same outfits on YouTube. Just know it's a new show. We have all new topics to discuss. So let's get into it. Adele did an Oprah interview and concert that I haven't talked about yet. And the New York Post wrote, Adele's Oprah concert proves she didn't lose her voice with those pounds.
I know.
Can you believe the title of this?
Yeah.
I thought this was interesting, though. Now, we know that she, you know, was always like a voluptuous girl, always the most gorgeous voice, gorgeous, perfect face.
Oh, she's great.
She started to lose weight. And I think it's great that Oprah did ask this, but she basically said, how do you feel about your fans that feel betrayed that you were this body positive person and now you're thin?
Right.
And I thought she handled it great. She's like, well, I'm still body positive. I'm positive about my body now.
Right.
I've actually didn't know it, but I'm athletic. I became an athlete. I can lift 170 pounds, deadlift 170 pounds. I got into it and I, you know, and this is a body I love and I loved my body before.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting that nowadays people have to defend, you know.
Yeah.
Getting thin and healthy.
Right.
Like you've betrayed us who looked at you and by you being curvier and bigger made me at home feel that I didn't have to lose weight. And that, now that you've lost weight, thanks a lot, bitch.
Yeah. It's – I don't – listen, I like Adele. I don't know. I
love Adele.
Me too. I love it. Like that song.
Hello, I literally will never change the station on an Adele song.
Yeah.
And I've heard all of them a million times.
But do you think, controversial opinion.
Yes, it is.
She is Oprah interview, sit down in beautiful Santa Barbara backyard worthy.
100%.
Okay, I'm going to disagree.
But Britney is.
Yeah, 100%.
They both are, in my opinion.
Well, let me tell you, I can tell you just by ratings alone.
Okay.
If you look at the ratings of Adele and Britney Spears winds up doing
I didn't look
Oprah,
at them. Why don't you tell me?
Well, I don't know. Look at them. I don't know them either. But they were low. I can tell you that. Nobody cares. But I'm saying Britney Spears would be quadruple the ratings because I believe this. I don't – and I'll say this. I don't think Oprah – I mean, if you're talking to Adele. All this was about the weight loss and the divorce.
What is
the song? Let's talk about you being a musician. Like good, interesting stuff like that. I don't know.
They may have edited that out because they know what people want to talk about.
Right.
Which is kind of sad, you know.
Yeah.
But she did make a joke about it on Saturday Night Live. She said something about I've lost something in COVID, so only half of me could come here or something.
Right.
I don't know what the joke was.
Yeah.
But she did address it. And, it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's too bad when Elizabeth Taylor got fuller. People didn't just go, I love that you got fuller, Liz Taylor. You're so body positive.
Oh, those were different times.
A lot of different times. Yeah. People were just furious that she got
and
heavy.
You could literally Johnny Carson, every Tonight Show opening monologue was basically making fun of Liz Taylor being the fat person, you know?
Yeah.
There was a lot of she's a big fatty. Can you imagine doing – you'd be fired these days for doing such
things. Oh, my God.
Which I guess is a good thing.
But, yes. So her song that's the big hit. Listened to – no, it's not Hello.
God. No, that's a good one.
Yeah. Be Easy on Me. Is she, and now people are going to explain it just like they did the Taylor Swift song, which I appreciate. Because I've seen a lot of TikToks of people playing that in the background.
I guess I got to start watching TikTok.
It's an addiction.
I can't.
Where I'm about to go to bed and I go, let me just see how my latest TikTok's doing. And then I'm like, Heather, don't do it. Don't press on it. And I'm literally one more, one more, one more. Stop. Go to bed. It's 10:17. One more, one more. The Chinese absolutely know what I'm into.
Right.
And they, just when they think I'm about to turn it off and try to watch something that will actually bore me and put me to sleep, they throw in a Marine Coming Home.
Oh, I'm a big Marine Coming Home.
A dog that's spooning a baby.
Yeah.
A hot dad doing something.
I like a Marine Coming Home, but does any military guy ever just give the family a heads up that they're on their way home? is it always a surprise? because I'd be a little you could have let us know, we would have vacuumed. I feel after the initial crying, it would have been great just a couple hours to know we could have.
Or are there
the bed ready in the guest room?
Or are there Marines that then do call their mom and wife and everybody and they say, guess what? It's not going to be February 5th. It's January 15th. I'll be coming home on this ship.
Yeah.
And then they're like, thanks a lot. Had you kept it a secret, you could have surprised me. My sister could have filmed it. We could have had a million followers and been talked about on Juicy Scoop.
Yeah.
But now that you couldn't keep your big Marine trap shut.
I remember years ago as a kid. Remember do you used to watch The Waltons?
Yes,
it's so amazing to me that was even a TV show. It's this boring show.
I thought it was boring. I always thought it was boring.
It was so boring.
Yeah.
But I remember one episode where John Boy was in the army or something, but he was stationed by the house. He'd come home and be there every day.
Oh, okay.
And then he sees the neighbor come home and they all make a big party for him. And he asks his family, why don't you make a party for me? And they're like, well, John Boy, you're here every weekend. It's not very special. That's season 8 when they ran out of plot lines.
And yeah.
Yeah, it was a very boring, weird
show. Well, I remember
my
dad when he came back from World War II.
Yeah.
He said that he was kind of bummed because he had seen all this stuff of when the European the soldiers that fought in Europe had come home and how many parades and things they were.
Yeah.
But by the time he got back from Japan, then got to San Diego, then got back to New York.
Right.
It was a little we're good.
Yeah. Good to see you again. Welcome home. Yeah.
Yeah. There weren't the parades, but, it's funny because I had a joke in my first special about how I'd watch this and I'd say, here the hot Marine comes home and here's the woman in an ill-fitting sweatshirt.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
And you know, and it's really? You couldn't have gotten a blowout? You couldn't have tried a little harder? you knew he was coming. In those cases, she knew he was coming.
I know.
With everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's it's been, 8 months.
Right.
This is your best outfit. This is, And so I saw a TikTok the other day where this girl's did I overdress to meet my Marine husband? And she's all dressed up, looking great. And she does zoom around, and everybody's in a big old T-shirt.
Oh, my God, that's
funny. Like, not and I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, why aren't you getting a little cuter? But obviously, this girl knew that she was going to TikTok this. So she's making it right.
That's
but
great.
I will say, yes, I love those. And then also, then all of a sudden, I'll get one where someone is pointing to photos of when they were young and their dad abused them.
Whoa, really?
I don't know why I'm getting those in my feed, but I watch them.
Yeah.
And they know that I watched them all the way through.
And they just point
a
photo and go, this is one of my...
Yeah, and then they have the song that's like, God stood me up.
Who sings that?
I don't know, but that's the only part of the song I know.
God stood me up?
God stood me up, meaning like God stood me up and then I was left alone to be, you know, raped by a family member. But then the other day I watched one and it was a good thing. And these people were like, we surprised our parents with the house we bought. And they put that song, God Stood Me Up. I'm like, don't they know that it's only if you're being molested that you play God Stood Me Up?
Does the person who sings God Stood Me Up know it's the molesting song on TikTok? That's not good.
So the Adele song, in my opinion,
right.
even though I put it to my fashion show just because it was a popular one.
Yeah.
When women are doing it like into the camera, it's that they had a child very young and they did their best.
Yeah.
Because is that song her talking to her child? Like, go easy on me that I broke up our family by getting divorced. I was young when I got married. I made some mistakes. Go easy on me.
Yeah.
Annie, can you look it up and see if I'm interpreting the song right?
I like that interpretation of it.
Yeah, but yeah.
I'll say this about Oprah. I love Oprah. And I always felt bad, even back in the old school Oprah days, the TV show.
Yes.
Yeah, I always felt bad when a performer was on because they would zoom in on Oprah. And she had to know all the words to all the song.
Right.
Because she mouths, you know, she sings along. And even during watching this Adele concert, they kept the camera on her a long time. And I'm like, there's no way. She was doing some deep tracks. And I was like, I don't think she knows all the words to this. And she did stop a few times and kind of clap her hands. I was like, oh, she just knows the words to that one. Yeah. So if I were Oprah, I'd be like, don't put the camera on me when the song's on. Because I don't know all the words to
right.
some of these hits.
You're right. Yeah. That's what it's about.
Oh, I am right.
Good for you.
My favorite Oprah song to dance to is Turning Tables.
Oh, that's an Adele song.
That's an Adele song. Yeah. Something about it. Well, all of her songs
like
makes
tables.
Me want to do like interpretive modern dancing.
Yeah.
But that's
because she has a lot of slower songs. She doesn't really have dancey pop hits.
Not dancey like at a nightclub. Dancey
just
like
slow dance.
Like kick a leg, go down into splits,
like God
twirl.
Stood me up.
Yes.
Yeah.
God stood me
I'm
up.
I'm going to have to.
Okay.
I'm going to have to.
I want to talk about Peacock. Okay.
The network. Peacock.
The network. It worked. I signed up for Peacock.
Oh, you did?
They're an advertiser on Juicy Scoop. This is the OGs, the original girls trip. So it's Teresa, Ramona, Cynthia, Kyle, Luann, Kenya and Melissa, and they go to this big, gorgeous house in the Bahamas. And this is why I watched three episodes back to back instead of going to the cameo party. And I have to say, it's fun. It's pretty fun.
Okay.
Ramona, who is, you know, my favorite to impersonate, does not disappoint. She's absolutely awful. She starts off by constantly calling Kenya Portia, who is not on the show. But it is a black woman who is a cast member of Kenya's and the one person that Kenya does not get along with.
Right.
And she goes, oh, God, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. You know what, Portia? You know what? They're like, stop calling her Portia. She's like, okay, you know what? I don't always use the right words. Sometimes my words get messed up. Okay, really? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I want to just apologize. Maybe I have ADD. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I don't know. So she is awful. And then Luann. They're on a boat, and Luann's telling the other women. And the whole point of this show in collecting these women from different things is the producers are like, you guys are all from different cities and franchises. Ask the juicy questions. Like, now, what did happen with your divorce? I saw a little on the show.
Yeah.
So that we get, like, the juicy stuff in. So someone said, what did happen with, you know, oh, no, Luann says, dating is so hard because – two women said they're going to set me up with their friend And then they Googled me and they saw that I was arrested. That's when Luann got really drunk and she was in Palm Beach.
I remember it.
And she walked into a room that she thought was hers. Like she was in 511 and she walked into 411. She thought she got off on the fifth floor. She got on the fourth floor.
Yeah.
And then demanded that this woman get out of her room. And so they called the police and then she was arrested. And since then she's been struggling with sobriety where she is sober. And she's like, you know, and then I married, you know, that was right after my marriage with Tom ended, and it was just so heartbreaking. And just then Ramona goes, gets up, and they're like, where are you going, Ramona? She's like, I heard the story. Like, you know, like, what do you know? I heard the story. We've been on the show for a really long time. Like, I've heard the story. You guys haven't. Like, you know, I don't know why you don't watch our series, but, like, she made it pretty clear about the story. And they're like, what are you doing? Like, why are you leaving? Like, we're fucking working. Then she comes back. She's like, I got you some lip gloss. It's my friend's product. They're like, what? I mean, she just is such an asshole. But I have been on a girl's trip.
Right.
Where someone has asked me something. And one, and I had a close friend that would go, get up and go, I've heard the story.
Yeah.
I'd been like, I've heard the story. Like, I've heard the story so much. She can tell it, but I don't need to sit for another hour for Heather to tell the story about how what happened when her mom died. Yeah. Like, I heard it.
Right.
Do you think that's rude?
Yes, but no. Like, yeah. I like somebody who has the confidence or whatever the term is to do it. Like, because we all been there. We've all been stuck in a situation where we've heard the story before, but we just suffer through. I wish I was the person who was like, I'm out.
It was a little uncomfortable because it was, you know, on a boat.
Yeah.
Like imagine below deck. So they're in like a booth.
Yeah.
So it was Luann and then Ramona and then all the other women.
She had to climb over.
So she had to climb over.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Ramona and I mean she had to climb over Luann and get out.
Right.
And then she's like, you know what? It's like Luann, she was married to Tom for like 1 year. Okay. Mario and I were married for 21. So it's like, okay, really? I'm supposed to feel sorry for you? And I was like, well, you're all divorced. Like, who cares? Like,
right. Like
you still got divorced. So do you, like, hold a medal higher to be like, well, we're all divorced, but
mine lasted 21 years.
Yeah, lasted 21 years. So I'm up here and you're down here. The word of Kelly Bessimone, I'm here, you're down here. So I don't know. But it's fun. I suggest people watch it.
Where what island are they on? Where do they go?
They go to somewhere in the Bahamas.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and they do this thing that I'm so grossed out by. I don't know why anybody does it. They did this on Real Housewives of New Jersey too. They get on horses that go into the water, like up to the horse's neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then the horses shit.
In the water?
Oh, in the beach water.
Right, you see that on the show? Or
I was so grossed out in New Jersey when they did this. They not only did the horse shit, but then one of the girls fell off of the horse.
Into the shitty water?
Yes. And we were watching, and Peter's like, wait a minute. Like, so I'm like, they must go to a beach where no one swims to allow these horses to go shit. But like, I'd be like, I don't need my horse to go in the water.
Yeah.
Like, that and also swimming with pigs that shit in the Bahamas. No desire to do that either.
No, I see those pig. Everyone's got those videos of the pig swimming.
What's the fun of that?
No, I don't know. I'm not into it. Yeah, I don't. I went on one of those horses once and like some ratty horse on the beach and the guy charged you $20 or whatever. And then he like hit it and it took off. And I was like, what the fuck is this? What am I, Seabiscuit? And then I remember I had like white pants on and my pants were all dirty because the horse was dirty.
Yes.
It was it was like a wedding or something. And now I was the guy in dirty pants.
Speaking of white pants.
Oh.
After my show in Boston.
Yeah.
I got into my hotel room. And as tired as I am, it's always hard to come down from the high of meeting the Juicy Scoopers.
Yeah, of course.
So what's on but Pretty in Pink?
Oh.
Andrew McCarthy, Molly Ringwald, James Spader. And John Cryer. I honestly want to rewatch it, have like a viewing party with a few people and film us watching it.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Because the James Spader in a white leisure suit, white linen pants, and a white linen jacket on a Tuesday at high school, smoking in the hallway.
Smoking in the hallways,
doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And he does this one line where he goes, well, I'm concerned that my best friend is dating a mutant.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it and I'm like, oh my God, that is Josh Flagg.
Yeah.
That is Josh Flagg. And so I wrote Josh Flagg and I go, have you ever watched, because he's like 10 years younger than me, have you ever watched Pretty in Pink? He's like, not Pretty in Pink. That was Pretty
in Pink. Yeah, Pretty in Pink.
Oh, it is. Pretty. Yeah. Have you watched Pretty in Pink? And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay, we need to watch together because there's a character. Now, granted, it's the worst character on the show that I'm comparing to, like the meanest, rich, pompous asshole.
Yeah.
But it's Josh Flagg.
Yeah.
It is. And he's like, well, you know, just the way he is. And oh my God, just watching that movie. And I'm like, the girl is 16. She's driving a Karmann Ghia. Yeah, there's a dent in the door, but it's a pretty nice car. And they're like, she's poor, she's trash. I mean, it was just like, it's so weird to see a show now that it's just rich white people being mean to like middle class white people.
And it's like, she walks into a party at one point and they go, nice pearls, honey. Everybody about it's like real. That's like every John Doe's a John Hughes movie. Yes, every John Hughes movie, that was the plot
theme.
Line.
I live. And then they show her house, and it would be $950,000.
Oh, yeah.
In Van Nuys.
I know, got a wraparound porch.
her bedroom has like a sitting bench that she can sketch on. It's huge.
Yeah, well, I actually read Andrew McCarthy's book.
It's
Brad Pack or something.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's kind of boring. He doesn't really have much to say about Pretty in Pink, but. I mean, I love that. I would watch that movie with Josh Flagg and you anytime. I love it.
We have to have a dinner party where or just come over. We got to watch it because it's like so classic. Anyway, I'm liking this show. And then there's one other question that everybody always wonders about Teresa and her nemesis, her sister-in-law, Melissa Gorga. Teresa was on the show first on New Jersey, and in season 3, Melissa entered. And everybody always wondered, did the producers go behind Teresa's back and get Melissa? And then when Melissa and her brother knew that they were going to be on the show, did they just not tell Teresa? And was Teresa such a bitch because she never wanted to include them? And so Ramona asked the question, which was good. And basically, they're just always going to disagree about it. Melissa said, everybody slides in my DMs. They slide in all my friends' DMs to see if we could be on the show. They want relatives. They want sisters. And you knew I was coming on the show. And Teresa's like, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. And that's just where it ends. And Teresa's madly in love with her new boyfriend because she divorced Joe Giudice after they both did prison. And this guy, Louis, I cannot believe this article that's coming out, but it says that Teresa Giudice does not want Bravo cameras to capture her wedding with Louis. I hope that Louis knows this because everything I've read and seen, Louis, her fiance, loves the cameras.
Yeah.
Loves the cameras. When people ask to take a photo with her, he says, do you want me in it? Like strangers. Yeah. And I'm just shocked. But, you know, it's either she's holding out for money or maybe she really doesn't want it to be on camera. I don't know. She says all the other weddings that were featured on camera on the Bravo thing has not worked out. So I'm going to say I don't want it. But I was just surprised by that.
All right.
All right. And I will just bring this one thing up about Real Housewives of Potomac. There's still one more episode that I haven't seen in recording this. But this one girl is very, very mean, Candace, to this other girl, Mia, on the end. And she always calls her big feet and that she has big feet. And so Andy asked her, how big are your feet? What size are they?
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, I was blown away.
How big are they?
12. 12. I don't know if you know about women's feet. I am a 9.
Yeah.
Which is a little on the big side, but kind of appropriate for my height.
Uh-huh.
Paris Hilton has been, I've heard she has 11.
Really?
Yes.
I would not have guessed that.
12?
Yeah.
Is extremely large.
Well, she...
There's nothing you can do about your foot size.
No.
Your not tits yet, are small. Redo yeah. your tits. Your ass is flat. Get a new ass.
Right.
Your thighs are big. Suck them out. Shape your knees.
Mm-hmm.
Fix your lip.
Everything.
Grow a chin.
You could bind your feet like they used to do in the in the old days.
Yeah. How would you know though? How would you know as a little girl growing up
that you're gonna have size 12 feet? I mean, she's a big, tall woman. I mean, does it?
Look, she's done fine in life with her feet. They do look kind of big.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, she's got a big foot.
Anyway, Candace is awful because she brings up her big feet and then she also brings up this girl's big forehead all the time. And this girl's gorgeous, Ashley. But she is a little petite thing and she's an asshole, Candace. So that's pretty much that with Potomac. And then Nicki Minaj comes out and people were upset that Nicki Minaj was being part of the Potomac reunion because have you heard about the whole Nicki Minaj thing with her husband?
No, I don't think so.
This is – I had to kind of research because I didn't understand. The way I understand it is Nicki Minaj married this guy or was about to marry this guy.
Yeah.
I think they were married. When he was 16, he went to prison for 4 years for sexual assault.
Okay.
With this girl. And because of that, he has to register as a sex offender.
Right.
And Nicki Minaj did not want it getting out that she's marrying a guy that has to register as a sex offender.
Okay.
So they went back to the victim and said, like, we want you to change your testimony or whatever so that he no longer has to register as sex. When she said no, then she said they were threatening her. And she went on like The Real and everything to tell her story, which made Nicki Minaj and her former rapist, now Nicki's husband, look bad. But Bravo didn't care. They brought her out to be part of Potomac. Just thought that was interesting. Let me get into some things you're into because you're like, I'm losing you here. That's
you're
okay.
You're not losing.
Daniel Baldwin says that his brother Alec Baldwin is being scapegoated in the Rush shooting. I've not talked about this with you, but there is some stuff that is still coming out. They're still discovering it.
Right.
Last I had read was, of course, it was a real bullet that killed the cinematographer.
Yeah.
And they're like, how was there ever even real bullets at all on the set?
Yeah. What I had heard was it was a set where they were out in the desert and they shot, they would just do target practice. Not Alec Baldwin, but a lot of people on the set would go out into the desert and shoot cactuses or whatever. So there were real bullets around and there was a real bullet in the gun.
Because a blank bullet you couldn't just do fun shooting with?
I don't think blank bullets, there is nothing
penetration.
Projectile comes out.
Oh.
It just makes
sounds.
The noise. Yeah.
Oh.
At least, I don't know. I'm not a gun expert. But in the case of Brandon Lee, when he was killed on The Crow, he was actually hit by a piece of projectile did come out from a blank. And that's what killed him. It wasn't a real bullet. In this case, it was a real bullet.
So George Clooney calls for live ammo on set, he says, is insane as he slams Rust production and adds he's never heard the phrase cold gun. That's pretty juicy because George Clooney's been in a lot of movies that involve guns and things.
Yeah.
He said it was insane and infuriating that live bullets were even on the set of the Alec Baldwin movie Rust, which caused the death. The Hollywood star added that he had never heard the term cold gun. So that's interesting. And then this just came out. Rust script supervisor is suing Alec Baldwin. And this person, Mamie Mitchell, who's originally called 911 upon the shooting that took the life of the director of photography, now she's being represented by Gloria Allred, and she alleges being injured from the shooting and is claiming assault, intentional infliction of emotional distress. Her new complaint. It was discussed that there would be three tight camera shots when filming resumed after a lunch break. One camera shot would be focused on the defendant, Baldwin's eyes, One would be focused on the blood stain on the defendant Baldwin's shoulder, and the third would focus on defendant Baldwin's torso as he reached his hand down to the holster to remove the gun. There was nothing in the script about the gun being discharged by defendant Baldwin or by any person. So the complaint adds that against basic safety protocols, at no time was she advised that a gun would be discharged, she as the script supervisor, that there was limited plexiglass in the church setting and that crew members weren't told to look on monitors outside the church, so not to be in close proximity in action. And she blames Baldwin for not checking whether the gun was loaded. And after the shot was fired, she says she heard a loud ringing in her ear, and her suit further claims that the cost-cutting measures intentionally endangered the lives of the crew.
I would have to agree with all that. I mean, I think that that is true. I think Alec Baldwin is screwed, you know, with this. I mean, I know there's insurance and everything, and I don't know if it'll come, he'll have to pay out of pocket. But, I mean, I think it's kind of, at this point, like, the career's kind of over, right? I mean, I don't know where you go from here. You can't host Match Game anymore, be funny, cutesy Alec Baldwin who, you know,
I forgot about Match Game.
Yeah, that's where he made his most money. He was hosting that ABC Match Game. That was a fun.
Does Michael Strahan know that he has to do another job?
Yeah, Michael, or whoever, you know, who they're going to keep. They'll get, you know, Mayim Bialik or whoever comes in now to do it. Ken Jeong. That's any easy fix.
Yeah.
But that's, he's done with that.
Wow.
And I'd say it, I believe the reason why poor, not poor, but, you know, Alec Baldwin has to go out and do these third-rate shit movies in New Mexico is because he has six kids.
That are under five or
something.
Hampton,
a house in Bridgehampton and six, you know, whatever,
camp,
Range Rovers.
Private school, equestrian stuff.
You know, eventually you got to be like, I always said this, we said it on this podcast thing, like, how much money does Alec Baldwin have? He's never been a Avenger, like the movies where you make real money, you know, you're
like $100 million.
Yeah, like
film.
I got a back end deal and I made $100 million. He's never been one of those guys. He's had a great career, but he's made a million here, a million there, $100,000 here. And
same with Bruce Willis. He's got a young family,
and he's another guy who's out doing complete shit.
When you
movies.
Have your first baby, your baby with your second wife or third wife, and you start having babies at 60 or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Get ready.
Get ready. Get ready to work.
For the next 20 years.
For the next 20 years. And you're not going to get the roles you once had. They're not doing Die Hard anymore with Bruce Willis. You're going to take the fourth lead in some shit movie that they're shooting.
Or they put you as the first lead, but you're it's not a great movie and they're just...
They put your face on the box.
Yeah.
Because people maybe will go, oh, it's a Bruce Willis movie.
Right.
I'll go watch this. And then he's in it for 30 seconds. And, I mean, isn't that the business model of... what's his face? It is kind of, not that it's a bad thing. I mean, that's the business model, and it is a way to make movies.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, Mel Gibson does movies like this, and Mel Gibson has a young baby.
Mel Gibson,
it's a young baby, old movie star syndrome that's happening.
You're now stuck doing these movies forever.
Yeah,
yeah,
but they're action movies that people like to watch. So if you like action movies, then they throw an old action star amongst the younger up-and-coming stars is really the way they do it.
Well,
but
of all these people who have been canceled, or in the case of Alec Baldwin, will probably be it's over. How that Mel Gibson still manages? I just read that he's going to direct Lethal Weapon 5, which is going to be a big giant production. He's directing it. How does he still have a career? Everybody says one thing, and this guy has literally said everything. That you're
Mel
canceled
Gibson.
For, Mel Gibson has done and said everything on tape. He's used the N-word. He's made, you know, used Asian.
Oh, and he was awful. His baby mama.
Yeah, he punched her in the face.
Had him taped saying awful things to her. So he had the cop situation.
He had that.
Where he called her sugar tits.
And
racial
and the Jews created all the Jew stuff that he said when he was pulled over for DUI.
Did he have anything against black people in that rant?
Absolutely. The rant he does to his wife on camera, he's at the N-word five times throughout it.
Oh.
And he's, you know, and then he hits her. I guess he abused her, knocked her teeth out. And he's still directing, like, top-of-the-line movies and is in movies. It's like, I just don't understand how he can still go. It's amazing to me. Yeah.
What you don't know is that Mel Gibson, Alec Baldwin, and Travis Scott are starting a podcast that's going to compete with Smartless.
You know what? I would probably listen to that before I would Smartless.
And it's going to be a big hit.
Yeah, I would definitely listen to that. Yeah.
I was watching Below Deck the other day. You don't have to watch Below Deck for what I'm going to tell you. You know the story. Rich people come on the boat.
Right.
And I've talked about how at one time I wanted to do it, and then I thought, they're so awful to the guests.
Right.
They hate them all. The guests get drunk. The guests still have to pay $50,000 and then another $20 for tip. Otherwise, you look cheap for 2 days or two nights or something. It's ridiculous. So actually, the other day, and there was these Seattle realtors. This guy got so drunk, and he was so awful. He's like, go F yourself. Go F. Go die. He was awful to his friends. He was awful to the crew. And then Captain Lee was like, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm more angry than a dick that was dragged through a bunch of broken whiskey bottles. Like, he does these, like, quotes now that, like, I'm like, how much time did he spend, like, figuring out? One was about a dick being dragged in broken whiskey bottle glass.
Right.
Another one is, I'm more angry than chickens being pissed on.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why chickens would be that angry. How would they know that it was pissed? Were they at the concert, that girl's concert?
Oh, my
concert?
God, that girl pissing on that guy's face. Did you watch it?
Yeah, we talked about it. I watched it, and we talked about
she
it.
She just apologized today. She came.
Just apologize
the
now.
The band had apologized, but then she came out with an apology today saying that she's not a shock, you know, type of performer, and, you know, she doesn't know why she did that.
Good news is she's starting a podcast.
It's a lot of pee-pee. Like,
anyway,
I know. No, we need to discuss this.
No, we don't.
No, no.
But I about the girl because I already covered it.
Okay, then that's fine. It's a hot story.
But anyway, he said he got very. But I thought, my God, here you are, a realtor in Seattle.
Yeah,
you're on this show looking like a complete and awful dick. Now he's sober. He apologizes. He's got the, you know, had to go into where Captain Lee has his coffee in the morning, and like Captain Lee's like, I'll drop you off quicker than a chicken that fell off of a concert stage and ended up in a whiskey dick. I don't know what he's saying, okay? But so they're like, okay, yes, sir. And so then, of course, like now they're quiet, like not having fun. And then, of course, production's like, great, now we have to focus on the boring people that work here. Yeah. But anyway, I was like, imagine you do this thing. Who the fuck is going to hire you to be a realtor after this?
I know.
Like, you were awful. You were verbally abusive to crew, women, just like one of the worst people I've ever seen on the show.
Right.
I don't know how they keep getting people to want to do this. And then, like, if you get drunk, you're annoying. If you don't like the food, you're awful. If you eat average food, they're like, look at these losers only liking, you know, a breast of chicken. Like, no matter what, like, you cannot win on this show.
And people continue. Like, this is like, it's been, and don't they have spinoffs now for other Below
Deck? They do, and they always get people, and people want to do it. And I'm just like, the only way I would do it, even if it was free, I'd be scared that we'd come off. Like, what? Who's Juicy Scoop? Like if I was to do it, like, I would bring you and all these, and we would record Juicy Scoop on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, who doesn't have a podcast? Juicy Poop? What is this called? Like, you know, they'd just be, like, awful about it. And then I'd be like, can I have a glass of Chardonnay? And then they'd bring me, like, Trader Joe's two-buck chuck. And I'd be like, I'm sorry. I thought I requested rum barrel. Fucking cougar crack. I don't know where her rum bower is. Like, they would just be awful.
Wow.
I'm like, here, I paid $50,000. You're not going to let me have, like, a $35 bottle of wine? Anyway, I still love the show. This was your story. Why don't you take the lead, Chris?
Well, I mean, you could see it. Iran is being accused. They have a women's soccer team in Iran, and they're good. And they just beat – I forget what country they beat, now that country that they beat, I think it was Norway or something, they're accusing the Iranian female soccer team of having a male goaltender. They say it's a man, and that's why they're so good, and they want a check – they want this person to be checked for their gender. They need to know their gender because they believe that that is a man.
But the way that they now define gender in sports, at least for the Olympics, right. was you took a blood test.
Yeah.
And if your hormone was on the side of male, then you're male.
Right.
And if your hormone, because you might be born one thing, transitioning to another. So you might actually register as the gender that you're claiming to be, even though you weren't born that gender and even though you haven't fully transitioned.
Yeah.
So she is saying, I am a woman.
Yeah.
And where does it stand? Are they doing just a blood test or they're saying, like, pull down your pants?
They're ordering a blood test. The other team that lost is ordering
a blood test. How do you pee when you pee on a fan after a soccer game? Is it you hold your dick or you squat?
Either way, it's bad news for this goalkeeper. You know, whether it's like the fact that it's even being questioned, like, am I that bad? Jesus. Listen, I know I'm not a 10, but come on now.
I agree. Okay, you have two photos here through the Daily Mail.
Right.
The one where it's more a straight-on shot.
That could definitely be
I believe she's a woman.
Yeah.
From the side,
that one is,
it is a very masculine-looking jaw.
Right.
She has a great jawline.
Great jawline.
And it's the forehead.
Yeah.
And in doing transitional, when you transition from male to female, that is something that is the first thing that a doctor does on certain men becoming women.
Is what?
Take care of this forehead thing. It's a very telling thing. Shave it down.
Oh,
raise
really?
It. There's something like about the way the forehead, the way a male forehead is versus a female forehead. Mm-hmm. And I will say it's this forehead and the strong, strong jaw that does look masculine.
Well, I mean, it's a great plot for like a Martin Lawrence movie or something.
If it was 1985.
Yeah, if it was 1985, this could be the Wayans brothers. And a good time had by all.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
Now it's a great story. One of my current favorites.
And I will say, since you brought up the Wayans brothers, because I've said this a few times on my show, and again, it is my prediction: if there is ever a White Chicks
two,
first of all, you better call me. But second of all, it absolutely should be a Real Housewife situation with a reality show being filmed, and one of the girls is doing a fraudulent business with fashion because that is what happens in real life.
Yeah.
There was always one up for like some indictment, and that's
well, I'm
the
doing
way
a,
you could do it.
I'm doing a show this evening with Damon Wayans, so I will relate that to him.
Damon's not part of it, but
I know, but he's close enough. This is another story I brought
thank
in.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. It's In Style magazine, and I found it interesting because the holidays are here. They're upon us.
Yes.
And a lot of people go home for the holidays to their childhood homes in some cases. And they have to stay in their parents' home within the proximity, close proximity of their parents. So this is an article. If you're going to masturbate in your parents' house, these are some tips on how to do it.
And what are the tips?
Well, one of them, the first one basically is, because that's as far as I read in the article.
Okay.
The first one is you ask your parents for some privacy and then go into the – and say you're meditating.
Okay.
I'm going to go into the room and meditate. I need some privacy. And then go in and do your business. But I think telling your parents you're meditating or masturbating, both of them would be – I don't think they would – they would frown upon both.
I think there's certain parents in certain parts of the country
who think meditation is some
it's weird.
Dippy,
it's weirder than just masturbating. Just say you're trying to get off. What the fuck are you doing?
Exactly. Right. I need mom, dad. I need some quiet time to go meditate. Oh Jesus, what is going on? And just go. I'm gonna go.
Oh my God. Okay. This is crazy. This Maryland mayor has been charged with 50 counts of disturbing revenge porn on Reddit. He is a full-blown mayor, okay?
Of a small town where? In like
still.
Maryland.
So, he created a Reddit account to distribute sexual images of a woman he was previously involved with, and the images were posted on subreddits like needy sluts and degrade this pig. Oh my God, I didn't know that existed on Reddit.
Wait, needy sluts is a what is that?
It's like r. Look,
so you go on there.
So it's like r for Reddit / yeah. needy sluts, and then r/ degrade this pig.
And what do you do on degrade this pig?
Post these photos, I guess. Oh. And he posed as the girl posting it of herself.
Oh.
So then people were like, yeah, I want
and it was
you.
An ex-girlfriend of his or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was charged money with 50 counts. And he's like looking at all these years and all that type of stuff. And it just,
this is a whole new thing, revenge porn. That's like a.
It is really
awful. That
came
with the internet, right? I mean, of course, you couldn't do it before. There was nothing.
Well, it's just so sad because part of dating is you immediately have to send like naked photos of yourself
yeah.
to like have the guy meet you at Starbucks or whatever. And like, and I just yeah. think like, you should just say, you know what? Like, right. it's fine if you want to send your dick because I might as well just inspect it. You know,
right.
and they, you know, and they always have ones ready to go with like good lighting and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But like, as a female, just listen to Aunt Heather here. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
But don't you think it's a new world where it kind of has to be?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But just and say, you know what? I just send this article. Say, right. just listen to Heather McDonald talking about this creepy mayor that. You know, and I'm not saying you would do it, but I don't know you. So I'm not sending photos to you. If you want to meet me
right.
and my tits and my vag in person.
Meet me at
Starbucks. Meet me at Starbucks.
Right.
Or the Coffee Bean.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a Starbucks. Could be a Coffee Bean. That Coffee Bean on Sunset has always been kind of happening.
Yes, that's the only good. Otherwise, yeah. I don't even know if – I think you got to do cutesy coffee house. You know,
you're
privately
right. like
owned, independent.
Like an Alfred.
Yeah, where the yeah. guy's got purple hair back
and
there.
And you can get like a lavender yeah. one for like $11.
Right.
And yeah.
Your cute quotes written on a bulletin board. You know,
yeah.
Roomy quotes or whatever.
Yeah, like only man buns allowed. Yeah.
Right. Then you go
yeah.
in. You don't want to go to a Starbucks because that
you're
could be
right. That
could
is
be a
so
little...
conventional.
You know what's so nice when I go on the road? I know I'm in a nice neighborhood or a nice city when I go into the Starbucks and it doesn't have the keypad on the bathroom door. I'm always like, what? Where am I? That I could just enter the Starbucks bathroom without.
Wait, there's Starbucks that you can also open the door to?
In most cities outside of Los Angeles, you just walk right into the bathroom without entering some weird code.
Without presenting yourself to the manager
yes.
and letting them inspect your body?
And, yeah. And then having them have to give you the code and then them knowing you have to go do some business. Yeah, you can go. I just have to.
I feel so bad for
the
people.
I think I was in Salt Lake City or something. And I went and I'm like, wait. I was like, you just walk in? Yeah, it's a bathroom. I'm like, nah, you can't do that in where I live because there'll be homeless people in there shitting on the ceiling.
So you go in there and they will have set up all their toiletries. And they're like, sorry, we live here. Talk to Gavin about it.
One time I was in a Rite Aid and I went to the Rite Aid bathroom. I forget where, just here in LA. And there was a guy fully shaving in there, like big foamy face.
I feel so bad for the people that have to work in these places. Like,
oh,
I was hired to make a coffee.
Oh, man.
I was hired to restock the shelves.
Yeah.
I was not hired
to
go tell someone
yeah.
yeah, that they can't use our bathroom because they're disgusting.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's where I feel really bad.
I follow this thing on Instagram called Awful People.
Yeah.
And it's just videos of, you know, people throwing stuff at cashiers and stuff. And it's just like, oh, my. Did you see that one? The woman threw soup in the girl's face? Did you see it?
I just saw one the other day where this white woman was screaming at this woman who happened to be black. Didn't have to do it. She was just being awful to
right.
her regardless. But screaming at her that she wasn't making her Subway sandwich fast enough.
Yeah.
Make it, bitch. And then she's the one who posted it, thinking that the world would be like, you're right. She didn't make her sandwich fast enough. Like, it was horrible. Then there's a guy, like a Marine or whatever, like in his camouflage outfit, also enjoying his Subway.
Yeah.
And he's like, stop talking to her like that. And she's like, what, did you get your vaccine too? You know? And he's like, yeah, I did. And I'm in the Army or whatever he's
right.
saying. And then... You know, he's like, look, I'm just trying to get a sandwich before I have to surprise some people.
I know. I got to go surprise my family that I'm home.
And can you not post your angry rant before I get home.
Wait 15 minutes because I got a whole thing planned. Oh, Jesus.
Meanwhile, what we don't realize is that that whole surprise was ruined now.
Yeah.
By her screaming at that woman, mm-hmm. that mom already knows that her son is in town.
I just can't. And I often wonder, because then I see, like, now there's, like, ones on the subway where yeah. people find, and they're like, nobody's doing anything. And I'm like, I don't know. Would I do something? Maybe I would. I don't know. Like, in the case of a Subway sandwich, I would.
A Subway sandwich, I absolutely would be.
If someone's being physically accosted, I might do something.
I have been, where was I? I was somewhere where a man was acting ridiculous. I can't remember what the, it was a line for something, and he was, like, angry that the line was long, and it was during COVID times or something. I can't remember, but I was, like, sir, there's other places to go.
Yeah.
I think I said that. I'm like, there's other places to eat. There's other places to go. So I did speak up.
Oh, good. See, good for you.
And, yeah.
Just yesterday, I got like some sort of Amber Alert on my phone or something. And
in you know, that's my dream to catch a car.
Well, do you look for, I always left and I look right. And then,
My God. I, when I see it's like a Honda, whatever.
Yeah.
I am like, oh my God, please let me find the car. It is my dream to do this. That's my hero fantasy.
The one that I just got, it said, the suspect is 6'7" with tattoos on his neck. And I was like, nope.
No, I don't know.
I'm out on this one.
Most of the time they don't know the suspect. Most of the time it just says a Honda, whatever.
Yeah.
No offense to Honda. They're helpful Honda dealers.
Right. Yeah.
My God, we love those
ads.
Helpful Honda dealer commercials only in California?
I don't know. I think they're nationwide.
We always joke about it that it's not that great.
I know. They're always like, we're going to vacuum out your car.
Wait, let's do right now.
Yeah. Helpful Honda dealer.
You be the person. I'm the helpful Honda. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Hello.
Hi, is this Chris?
I'm Chris, yeah.
Hi, I'm a doo-doo-doo-doo-doo helpful Honda dealer, and we're here to help you today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do for me?
We heard that you're a struggling stand-up comic.
Well, you know, I don't know about struggling, but sure, stand-up comic.
You've been trying to get more people to come to your shows.
I am, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to offer everyone that comes to your show a free coloring book.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We've got 50 that you can give out to any member that sits through your comedy show.
A coloring book, but these are adult people.
They also come with sharpened pencils.
Oh, so cool, like a coloring book for those type of people.
But then you have to react like this. You have to react like,
Oh my God.
I cannot get anyone to come to my shows, but I know that if they also got a gift with purchase, they would actually come.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you.
Like one time there was this one that like, hi, we heard that your neighbor needs his hedges trimmed.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, he's 50 and he's retired and he can no longer trim his hedges. And I'm like, retired at 50?
Right.
What neighborhood is this? How are you living in a neighborhood with hedges? And I think I could find someone more needy than this person that's retired at 50.
I think what happened was,
trim his hedges.
I think when they first started they were very low stakes. And then it started catching on. People liked it. So then it became, we're going to buy the whole classroom coloring books.
It's still not great, though. It's still, like, never that good.
I think we really – have we stopped with the adult coloring? Are we still – because I think we went a little overboard on that one. Remember a couple of years ago, every bookstore was like – I think we thought a little too many people were going to start adult coloring. And
you're right. I think that was a bit of a trend.
Yeah, it was a trend where – I mean, you literally went to a bookstore and it was like 9 rows of adult coloring books. And I was like, I don't think that many people are doing this.
Yeah. No, yeah. I never
did. You ever sit down with an adult?
No, because it's triggering for me because my sister was a fucking bitch about me coloring. Because first of all, I'm 2.5 years younger than you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Just not staying
I'm sorry,
the
Shannon,
lines,
that I don't color as well as you do.
Yeah.
And I would want to color and she'd be like, ugh! Oh my God, stay in the lines. Like, like being real bitchy about it. And so then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. It's the same way I felt when everyone yelled at me that I didn't know how to do a bong right. I was like, I'm not going to smoke pot then. Like, I'm not going to smoke pot. I'm not going to color. I'm not good at it.
There's a lot of rules around a bong.
If I'm not good at something, I'm not going to keep trying it, especially when you're pointing out that I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to try
that. And that's
then.
Where, like, some people would say, I'm gonna overcome this, and I'm going to be the best bong smoker ever.
Yeah, no.
You're like, I'm the same way. I'm like, no, fuck it. I'm out.
No.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of things I do better.
Like, you're not thrilled to have me here. You're not, you know, like, there's other people. Even in life now, friends aren't that nice to me. I'm like, that's okay.
Right.
I'm going on the road and do a fucking show. Those people are happy to see me. They'd love to have dinner with me.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry to invite you. Your best friend, Meghan Markle,
sat down with
Ellen DeGeneres
for
a surprise interview.
Now.
So this will have already come out, but they luckily got us a snippet. And, oh, what a cute story. Well, first of all, she and Ellen are neighbors.
They up there in the,
Yeah, they're next-door neighbors. They're about 50 acres apart, being next door in Montecito.
Must be nice.
Yes. And remember when Ellen... Everyone hated Ellen because she said being trapped in her home was like being in prison.
Yeah. And she was in like
during COVID.
Yeah. But then everyone hated her already. Like, I thought
that my prediction
was
right on that.
Away,
I
right?
said she has, this is her last year, and my prediction was completely right. I said she won't end on this note. She'll do one more year and then end it.
But is she still being cutesy and dancing around?
Still being really cute.
Yeah.
So she asked Meghan Markle, you know, the most down-to-earth princess we've ever had.
She really is.
She really is. Yeah. So she said, oh, my God, it was so amazing coming on the lot here, Warner Brothers, because I used to come here for auditions.
Mm-hmm.
And the security guards used to say, break a leg. And then Ellen goes, oh, so they knew you? No, I think I realize now. I just think they were so nice. They said it to everyone.
Yeah.
And you had an embarrassing car. I did. I had a Ford Explorer, but it was very old. Very mm-hmm. old, almost as old as Molly Ringwald, Carmen Gia, in Pretty in Pink. Can I stress to you, I was poor.
Yeah.
I was very, very, very poor, who went to a private all-girl high school and mm-hmm. a private college.
Right.
But I was so poor that I had a car and the front door, the key didn't work anymore on the front door. So I would have to park way, way, way far in the back of the lot so the security guards wouldn't see me because I was so embarrassed how much I was struggling. I was working at a very, very poor man's restaurant called Maribel.
Did she mention folding napkins with me?
But that should be her next story.
Yeah,
she definitely should talk about how she had to do side work and fold napkins like a commoner.
Salt and peppers.
And then so she would have to open her trunk
to
crawl in after her audition. And if anyone saw her, then she would just pretend like she was actually looking for something in her trunk.
Oh, because the door didn't work. She was
the front door didn't open, but I don't know why she wouldn't just open the
other door. Well, that's not as good a story.
No, to crawl through the trunk is like almost like living in your van, like Jewel.
Right. Remember Jewel? Yeah.
Yeah, she lived in her van.
Yeah, slept in a car for two days. And that's the one thing I remember about Jewel. I'm like, she did sleep in her car for 2 days.
Well, I just want to say, you know, before Juicy Scoop really took off, I was living in this house. Just this little house.
Yeah.
And I'm still in that house.
Yeah.
Like, what I'm so... Like, she is so annoying. Like, what story haven't I told that makes me look poor?
Like
it's not... And you know what? The audience wasn't even laughing.
Right.
It wasn't even funny from the clip they showed.
Yeah. Well, she's... What is she out there plugging? Is she plugging...
Probably in the podcast or the Netflix documentary or mental health or that she's a mother or her line at Target. I don't know.
Oh, she got a line? Is she doing something?
No, I've been predicting that. I don't know when it's going to come. I know they're coming after that couple, Chuck and Joanna. They are coming hardcore after them.
I had mentioned something about them and somebody wrote me, how dare you talk about them? They're Satan worshipers. I'm like, whoa.
Joanna and Chuck are Satan worshipers?
Not Satan worshipers, but they're in some church that I guess denounces gays. I'm like, I just like the fucking woman with the nice wreaths. You know, the Magnolia line looks nice in Target. I don't know their practices. My mother hates him. Oh, she loves the show. And every time he comes in.
Why?
You know.
Why doesn't she hate Chuck, though? What's wrong with him?
He's a jerk. He's a jerk.
He's a jerk to Joanna?
Yeah.
I do feel like Joanna.
She's too goofy. And mom's like, I like Joanna to explain what they're doing in the kitchen. And then this jerk comes in and does jokes. My mother does not like it at all.
I do feel like it's all Joanna's work.
Yeah.
Well, he kind of finds the property, and then Joanna basically does everything else.
Went the year that Susan Sarandon won all the Oscars for, you know, that one. She was the nun with Sean Penn.
Yes.
And she was walking all the red carpets of all the Golden Globes and all the Oscars. And her husband at the time was Tim Robbins.
Right.
Who was a pretty
Are they no longer together?
No, they're no longer together. But he was a successful...
Well, they started fucking like a 20-year-old ping pong player.
Yeah, ping pong. Ben Gleep. Didn't he used to play ping pong with her or some weird shit? Anyway, I remember my mother...
That was another thing. When ping pong took off for adults.
Yeah, and she had her own like ping pong store.
Like nightclubs had ping pong tables. Yeah. Okay, go on.
But my mother was very upset. She didn't know who Tim Robbins was. She finally, after watching four award shows, she's like, who's this big jerk with Susan Sarandon? She was very upset that it wasn't somebody... She should be with somebody famous, not this big doofus.
Well, I've talked about Tarek, who is Flipper Flop.
Yeah, right,
with
right.
his ex-wife, Christina. But now he has a new wife, Heather Ray, who's on
Selling Sunset.
And they got married, and he they went to Dubai, and they went to the Maldives, and they post a lot. And there was one photo, which I don't have here, but he took a photo, and he had these high black knee socks just under his knees. And people started to rip on the socks.
Yeah.
And then he took to social media to say, you know, this is because I have whatever circulation vein problem, part of my illness. Or
thrombosis,
whatever.
Deep vein thrombosis.
And, you know, getting so angry at the people that commented, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy my honeymoon. And now you've like ruined my time by bringing up my vein issue or whatever. And I'm like, here's a thought. Why don't you just enjoy your honeymoon?
Yeah, exactly.
How about you not? Yeah. Why don't you just take down that photo? When you start getting shit, you're embarrassed about the socks, just take down.
Right.
Take down and just like not post every 5 minutes. But you know what? If you're going to post that much and you're going to wear weird black socks, how are we supposed to know that you have a circulation issue? But anyway, they now have a show where he helps people flip houses. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Even with the deep vein thrombosis, he's able to.
Oh, I think he's not wearing those socks in that. But yeah. Yeah. But I'm sure they're the kind of couple that he'll be doing an ad for those socks. Turn it into lemonade.
I like them. I wear them.
Some people have to. Long Sometimes flights, on a plane.
Long
but
flights.
This was like walking in front of like the Taj Mahal. He had them on. What do you think of hair? So Harry Styles did another photo shoot of him wearing dresses and tights and boots.
I get it. I know. It's so like I get it, Harry. You're wearing. I know. Why?
Well, now, like other male stars who really do wear dresses are mad that he's
like
taking
who?
The thunder. Like that guy that's always like on the red carpet in like capes and things. I think he's on Pose.
Oh,
maybe?
Yeah. Billy Porter.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Billy Porter's not happy about it.
Yeah. I did see him.
So
say
then
something.
Billy Porter had to apologize and be like, there's enough dresses for everyone.
Yeah. Everybody's got to apologize. Everybody apologize.
You wearing a dress is not your. If your light shines on you on a dress, that's not taking away the light of me wearing a dress. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, no women are being asked to wear a dress in Vogue.
We should do a show 5 nights a week on whatever network called Apologize. And then somebody gets to come on and apologize. Tonight on Apologize, we have Billy Porter.
Well, Ramona is the apologizer. That's what they call her. And she does apologize for everything. And she'll be like, you know what? I really want to say, Luann, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry, okay? That I didn't want to hear this boring story about Tom again, okay?
Right.
I want you all to know I never really dated him. We knew each other. We were friendly. And then when you got with him, I was a little disturbed, but I let you have your fun. And you know what? So I am really sorry. It was not my intention to hurt your feelings or to be rude, but I was a little bit parched and I just wanted to get a drink. Okay? That's how she apologizes.
So we can have her be there coming. Yeah. And then we can ask the audience, do you accept this apology?
And sometimes they don't.
Yeah,
sometimes they don't. Saying. Also on that Girl's Greatest Trip Ever is Cynthia had a game. Okay, we're going to play – it's called the Bailey Q, like a barbecue, the Bailey Q, because that's her last name. And we're going to ask questions, and then we're going to decide with these medals who's the prettiest, who has the best butt, who's the smartest, who's the pettiest, who's the – and Kyle goes, I don't know that I like that. Like, we're going to really pick out who's the prettiest. Well, Cynthia didn't like that. And actually, her alter ego is called 50 Cent, like Cynthia, oh. C-Y-N-T. That's when she gets, like, rough.
Yeah.
And she goes, and she's just like, and Kyle apologized like 5 times.
Wow.
Because basically Cynthia's like, you shit on my game.
Yeah.
And you made me feel like a bitch in 2021.
Mm.
But Kyle was like, I have 4 daughters. Can we not pick out the prettiest? But anyway, that's so.
And where was the bro?
She apologized 5 times.
What? Where was the bro with the big feet? Out water skiing with no skis? She don't even need no skis. Her feet are so big.
That was Mia from Potomac. She was not part of the old
butt trick.
But if they did have who has the biggest feet, then she would have absolutely won that medal. Kim Kardashian posted this, and so did Scott Disick. And it's Kim right before she went to Paris's wedding with all these bags. And you see these, right?
Yeah.
You follow these people where it's like, win $100,000. You know, shopping spree.
That
follow these 75 accounts, comment whatever 5 times,
right.
Do this, do that. I am putting this out to anybody listening, you or someone you know. If you know an actual human that has won this, won the 120,000 in the shopping spree doing this, you have an invitation to come on Juicy Scoop and tell me exactly how it happened,
just a scam.
How you found out,
right.
What you did with the money. You are welcome to come and be a guest on my show. I am dying to hear from someone who actually wins it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there isn't someone. I would just like to, at least with that other sweepstakes, remember the olden days? They'd knock on someone's door and they'd have the
balloons,
big check.
Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon would
Publishers
come with the check.
Clearinghouse.
Yes, Publishers Clearinghouse would come with a check.
Yeah.
And then like somebody would come into their house. What?
Yeah.
Like they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
There were real winners of that, unless that was stage two. Now someone might tell me, oh, don't you remember in 1995 it came out that there was a scandal and it was never real? I don't know.
Well, these days the guy would walk up the front lawn and he'd get shot. They shot the poor guy.
We see the ring footage. Everything
ring
is just ring footage. Everything is just ring. Like
ring
literally
footage.
Half of the news is ring footage. Someone stealing a package.
Yeah.
Someone saying, you know.
Yeah, that guy who, that's Paris Hilton's husband. Isn't he ring?
Yes, right.
Yeah,
God,
so,
full circle.
Yeah, full
anyway,
circle.
I would just like to know.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying what if the social influencers that are getting paid the $500,000 to post this. It's not their job to make sure that someone won. But maybe they'd like to know if nobody's winning, or maybe they'd like to know that, oh, how nice.
Yeah.
That guest on Heather
like
McDonald's Juicy
after,
Scoop would
yeah.
like to win. Won.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want to know.
I like that.
Another thing is this movie looks horrific. It's J-Lo. She posted a video. She has a song of it. It's called Yellow Brick Road.
Uh-huh.
It's a movie. And it's with
Owen Wilson,
who I just cannot take seriously anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just can't. Like,
is it a serious role for him?
I can't. I just want to put filler in his nose so bad at the bottom of the nose. I just, like, how does any, like, esthetician watch a movie with him and not just want to fill
his
nose,
is
and straighten
bent,
it?
His nose is very bent, yeah.
Very bent. And,
it's kind of his appeal, though. You know,
right.
That's kind of his thing now.
And now I just feel like, anyway, so
what is
he
the
holds
pl-
up
what
a
song.
It looks like she's a singer. She's a singer, and he has a sign, Marry Me. It's a love story.
No.
It feels very dry bar movies.
Oh.
Very 2005.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just this picture alone looks 2005.
He was in movies in 2000. Like, I was just thinking about her movies, Made in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And the other one where she was the wedding planner, where she'd come home and she, you know, because she has brown hair, no one will marry her.
Right.
And she has to have her own glass of wine and her little meal.
Right.
And then her dad is like, you got to marry this Italian guy. And
yeah.
he's like at a retirement home, but he's like 60.
Right.
And then like
Danny
Aiello. She has to marry this guy because there's nobody else that will marry J-Lo. So she has to marry this foreign Italian guy that she doesn't like. She's forced to marry him to make her dad, who's 60 and in a retirement home, so that when he dies – in, I don't know, 35 years, he'll know that she, I mean, it wasn't like he was dying on her deathbed. And she didn't want to marry him.
Yeah.
But what else is she going to do? She just plans weddings for blonde people. And she's a brunette. She's never going to find her husband. But then Matthew McConaughey, yeah. He goes, I don't care that she's brunette.
I will take her anyway.
I don't care that she's brunette. Yeah. She
has perfect features outside of her brunette hair. Everything about her is perfect.
He doesn't care. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to leave my white blonde bride and marry my brunette bride.
Right.
Because I actually care about love.
Yeah.
And then in, of course, Made in Manhattan, you know.
My Best Friend's Wedding was a similar plot line. Cameron Diaz, the blonde. But then Julia Roberts was gross because she was dark.
Who wants to marry your best friend who's brunette?
Right. Absolutely not.
No, that's not who you marry.
She's the fun girl.
Basically, a brown-haired girl is just a dude.
Yeah.
Like, she's just a guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was this housewife, Lisa Barlow, and she posted a photo of her husband wishing him a happy birthday.
That's a great picture.
It's the most blurred picture, but it's one of like six. And I'm like, you didn't notice?
Right.
Chris, tell everybody again, Cover to Cover.
Cover to Cover is the name of my podcast. I would love you to come over and listen. You know, I get a huge Juicy Scoop audience. Would be wonderful. I'll be performing Thanksgiving weekend at the La Jolla Comedy Store, La Jolla, California. Thanksgiving weekend. Chicago Zanies, December 13th and 14th. And then the City Winery in New York City, January 8th. Is that too many plugs?
I don't care. I'm happy. Listen, you know what? Thanksgiving is Thursday. I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for the Juicy
Scoop. Oh, is Thanksgiving coming up this?
Because this will be Tuesday. This is Tuesday, so Thursday's Thanksgiving, and I will have a Thanksgiving special podcast for you. And it will be my 600th episode.
And what was that going to be? Am I invited to that, or who's?
I've already recorded it. It's already been recorded, and it's a great episode. I'm just letting people know. I want them to listen.
Oh,
okay. So everybody, and then go to heathermcdonald.net for Patreon. And my tour is officially done for now. But I'm going to be sprinkling dates throughout 2022, and then we'll see what happens with my life after that.
How did you feel all in all about the tour? Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. I loved my material. I loved the hour.
Yeah.
I loved going to these cities.
Right.
Because I went in the fall. I had great weather the whole time.
Yeah.
And
are you excited about the holiday season? Do you have any big parties coming up? I mean, it's... You know, the holiday party season.
Well, I have my party that you're invited to.
I made the cut.
And you made the cut. And
how many people are invited to that?
Right now, not counting Peter and I, there's 16.
What?
It's an intimate dinner party
in a private
room.
But outside of, is it a Juicy Scoop?
Yes.
Exclusively Juicy Scoop?
Yes. It's the stars of Juicy Scoop.
And there's 16 of them?
Yes, I'll tell. Well, everyone has a spouse.
Do I get a seat that's higher up than everyone else's?
Listen,
I need some sort
of. It's going to be fabulous. It's going to be fabulous, and it's going to be fun.
I need to be because
I was.
Oh my
God,
there.
You are such. Listen, you're kind of turning into a nightmare. You're like the firstborn son that's like a dick to the other ones.
I was there when you were testing out cameras and
everyone
different
knows
rooms
that.
And, all right, I'm just saying. Let's get a different seat.
Everybody. Please follow the most needy of the Juicy Scoop stars, Chris
Frangiola.
Sure.
That's the truth. All right.
Thank you.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.